Last time my wife and I got to be here, not last week, but back in June 29th when we were out here interviewing, we talked about embracing your journey and the journey that we're on as Christians and what we're called to. And we talked about how sometimes that journey is pretty clear. Sometimes, you know, we know exactly, like the Psalm said, to go right down the Red Sea, and we know at the end of the Red Sea, that's where we're going to be. And other times it's not so clear, like that little lamp at your feet, and you can kind of see around you, but you can't see off into the distance, and you can't see your destination where you were supposed to go. And we also talked about that on our journey as Christians, that journey, that walk, centers on becoming like Christ, is what it means to be a Christian. And also, our destination is heaven, but as Christians, we have this task along the way, and we're called not just to be saved and then end up in heaven. We're called to be saved, but then walk a path that God lays out for us, this journey, and to grow and learn along the way. And our task is to have that light shine through us and bring other Christians along the way to when we get to heaven. And today's message, we saw it comes out of Jeremiah 6:16. And I want to talk more about, as we go through those times where that light's kind of just down at our feet, we don't know exactly where we're going, how do we discern which way we're supposed to go when you can't see your destination anymore? And so sometimes when it gets a little bit hairy, what do we do? The Bible says here in Jeremiah 6:16, this is what the Lord says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. So stand at the crossroads and look, ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. When I was in college, I went to Malone College out in Canton, Ohio. And my junior year, I met this beautiful woman named Chandra, and I knew she was going to be my wife. And so 8 months later, I asked her to marry me, and I was taking this marriage class. It kind of fit in with the ministry major, and then at the same time, it was like, well, I'm getting married. I know I need to learn stuff because she knows more than I do about just about everything. So we're taking this class, and it's a once-a-night class, and it meets for a couple hours. And one of the professors one time says, okay, let's go meet at my house. We're going to split the guys up, and we're going to split the girls up, and the guys are going to ask guy questions, the girls are going to ask girl questions, and then the guys are going to ask about girls, and then the girls are going to tell about guys. And so we went to this professor's house, and what was neat was Chandra lived about 30 minutes from school, and here's the school, and here's Chandra's house, and right back here out of the way is this professor's house. It was roughly in the middle, halfway, to get to Chandra's house, and this class was at 7 o'clock at night. So we go to this professor's house, and we have this great meeting. I learned so much about my future wife, and when it was done, I knew that to get to Chandra's house, I had to go due north. See, there was only one way I knew how to get to Chandra's house, and it was the fastest way. It was what you would call, like it says here, it was my ancient way. It was the good way because I knew I could go at every time, and I knew where it would take me. I knew exactly where the destination was, but this professor's house was a little out of the way, and to get there, we took a path that I had never known. And at that time, I had a little Toyota Corolla. It was a 1988 little, had a hole in the muff where you drive down the road, you know. And so I get out and I ask the professor, which way is north? And he says, it's that way. I say, okay, that's fine because the road in front of the house is running east and west. So I know if I take a left and go this way, I know I come to my first right and I take a right. That's north, right? For those of you who aren't directionally challenged. So if I take a right, I know I'm going to go north, and sooner or later I'm going to come across that old road, or I'm going to come across some road that I know how to get there. So I go out, and I'm driving, and it's dark, and if you have an old car, you know, this was definitely a college, just get through with no money deal. The lights only shine out about, I don't know, 10 feet in front of the car, and you can't see much. But as I'm driving down the road, pretty soon the road starts to curve to the left. Have you ever been on a road like this? And then pretty soon the road kind of turns back to the right, and maybe a little more than I thought it was. And it wasn't long before I came across this crossroad that I had never been to. And at that point, I had no sense of direction anymore. I had this great start. But then when I get to that crossroad, I had no clue. Do I go straight? Do I go left? Do I go right? I didn't know where my destination was in front of me anymore. And Jeremiah says, stop at your crossroads. take the old road. You know, I don't know if you other guys are like me, but I don't always like the old road. And when Chandra and I came out here last June, we were staying with the Martins, Mike and Charlene and Dan and Lydia, and somehow there was this great storm and nobody could get a hold of us, and we didn't know we were supposed to stop in Marshalltown. So we drove through this big storm and we came to the church, and I got a call on my phone and I said, "Nathan, this is Mike Martin. You're supposed to stay at our house and we're in Marshalltown. Do you know how to get here?" "Well, not really." "Well, what you do is you go out on this road and you head south, or you head east or west, and then you take a left when you come to the T, and then you're going to come to another place and you take a right, and then you take a right and a left. And then you go down the road, and then, I mean, you guys know Mike. Mike knows his stuff when it comes to the topography around here in this area." Well, I didn't have a pin, and I was halfway talking to Bill Patton, and so I was like, "Okay, I think I can find Marshalltown." So Chandra and I get to the end of the road, and you guys know when you go down the end of Hopkins, you can go left, or you can go right. And my sense of direction wasn't that great, so my wife said, "Go left, that's the way we came. We know it'll get us back." And I said, "Mike, I don't know if Mike said to go left or right, because this looks like it may be going straight to Marshalltown." And so, as a good wife, she kind of sat back and said, "Well, I guess we'll get there." About a half hour later, I got another call from Mike. "Hey, did you get lost?" "No, we decided to go a different way. We're coming in on 14 now instead of coming in on Summit." So when we landed in State Center, that's when I realized there's a reason why you don't go this way to go to Marshalltown. There's a good reason. And I don't always do that, you know. I like the old road, but new roads are uncertain. But sometimes I think I can get there better and faster. But Jeremiah says the old road is the good way because it's tried and it's true, and it's God's way to our destination. You know, there's times along the good way, which is our journey, which God calls us to, that the crossroads are very clearly marked. You need to go right or you need to go left. Or you need to go straight, or you need to get back from where you came from and start over because you done screwed up. But because God wants us to grow and mature, there's times along that road where he doesn't necessarily mark it so clearly. Or there's times when the road has become so twisted enough, maybe you twisted it, maybe I twisted it, I took that different way, or he allows that light to come down just around your feet where you can't see where you're supposed to go. There's times in your journey where you're going to have to walk through a cornfield. And I think you guys probably know what I'm talking about. We've got these 80 acres down in Pleasant Plain, whichever direction it is. I think it's that way. Mike, it's that way. So we've got this 80 acres, and the first 40 acres, we've got the farm out by the road on, I don't know, probably 8 acres. And then you've got probably 40 acres of corn or soybeans, happens to be corn this year, and then you've got 40 acres of that's just grassland. We put it into government. We rolled it over. My dad's a big conservative type person when it comes to the ground. Well, if you go way back out in the pasture, you can stand and you're kind of on a hill. The cornfield's a little bit of a valley, and you can clearly see the house and the barn. I can see where I wanted to go, and I remember this distinctively because I had been out fishing or something. Like, I got to get back home, and the fastest way is to go through that cornfield. And I started out so good. I had this great sense of direction, but you know when you walk into a cornfield, most of the time you have to walk across the rows when you go in, because you've got these end rows that go around the cornfield. And so you might not do this like me, but don't step on the corn. So here's a piece that didn't come up, I'll step through here. Here's a piece that didn't come up, I'll step through here. Now I stepped over 2 steps here, so I got to come back this way. And then I got to come 5 steps here and come back this way. And then you get to the rows, and if you're a good farmer, and I use that kind of loosely, but if you're a good farmer, like my dad, you contour your rows with the land, because you know if you run up and down the hills, the water's going to run down and wash everything out. So my dad doesn't plant straight rows on purpose. And so your row starts to twist a little bit, so I'm going to hop over here. It's twisting. I think I got to go a little bit more here, and before you know it, I had maybe 4 acres of corn to walk through to get to the house. And the field goes like this, and I ended up way over here, about a quarter mile down the road, out on the road, walking back to the house. And how does that happen? what I needed when I was trying to find Chandra's house and what I needed when I was in that cornfield. I needed some sort of a compass. I needed Mike. I didn't have him there. I didn't even know him then. I needed some sort of guide. When you're in that cornfield, you need something you can hold on your hand or something you can see up above. And, you know, not everybody is as tall as Scott Davis. I mean, he's never been lost in a cornfield since he was 5, I'm sure. But myself, the corn is taller than me, and I need something to follow along the ground. We have to have something that marks our way, and that's when we have to stop. That's when we have to really stop and ask God, where am I going? Because God supplied us with a compass. He supplied us with a guide, a very, very good guide. He's given us this personal relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ, where we can stop and ask. And he's given us all of these great older people who have been down the tried and true ways, and you can stop and ask Chuck if you need to know where to go. And that's what I love about having a relationship with Chuck Nichols. I hear he's a wise man. I'm going to find out. You know, there's something different that when you try to navigate through the world is when you try to navigate through your journey. When you go through the world, your compass is just an earthly thing. And if you get it close to metal, it can skew you. If you distract the compass with something, it won't give you a true north, or it can rust, or it can break, or the sky gets clouded over or something. But this Bible is in my heart. The relationship that I have with Jesus Christ is in my heart. And sometimes we have such a great start that we think it makes us adequate enough to continue through the maze of life on the journey. But God has one way for each and every one of us that is the good way. And you know what? We get off of it. And then we stop at our crossroads and we say, God, where's the good way? Please take me back. I am so humbled. And I am so humbled just to be able to be a minister, because one thing I learned this past week at yearly meeting, I was in a financial seminar with Jeff Schwarzenstruber, and he's with MMA, and he talked about when it comes to money and people, there's a balance. When you have just enough, you're good. When you don't have enough, you're struggling to get enough. And when you have too much, you're struggling to know what to do with it and how to handle different things. And it's the same way with myself. When I don't feel adequate enough, I can't do what God calls me to do. I stumble along the journey. I kind of take my own paths. When I feel too adequate, I'm running through that cornfield as fast as I can, saying, I'm going this way, this way, this way. And then I end up very lost, and I have to say, God, please pull me back. But when I feel just adequate enough to allow God to work through me, and the same as you on your walk, allow God to lead you on your journey, that's when it really comes to you really get to walk on that good path. And when you really actually, you do find rest for your souls. Stand at the crossroads and look for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. And I'm sure we all know that when we stray from that path, that's when we struggle the most. Let's go ahead and spend some time in prayer. And just as, you know, this upcoming week is another trip in our journey before we come back next Sunday or when we see each other again. And we've got crossroads that we're going to come across. And I just hope that we can remember now, no matter how old or how young we are, when we make a decision to stop and ask God, what's the good way that you have for me? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the teachings that you give us and you reveal to us. And as we serve you this week and as we continue on our journeys, as we discern the crossroads that you have laid out before us, whether our journeys right now are very clear or whether right now we're struggling a little bit to find the way, give us the patience and the peace to stop and ask you and seek your direction for our lives. And for every day as we go through it, Lord, so that we may find rest for our souls. And that we would be able to use this journey and use it to the fullest that, you have for us, Lord, that you want us to get out of it, Father God. Amen.